welcome to another episode of Unsubscribe, the Demand Drive podcast. I am one of the co-hosts, AJ Alonso, joined by my other co-host, Alex Ellison. Alex, how are we today?
Good so far. Pretty early. It's like 8:15 in the morning, so it could really go all downhill from here, but I hope it doesn't.
That's the spirit. That's what I like to hear. Really the ever the optimist, Alex. We're joined by a fantastic guest today, Charlotte Lloyd. She's the sales director over at Investment Monitor. Charlotte, excited to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for that introduction, AJ. Really excited to be here. Hi, Alex. And yeah, let's take it away.
Yeah. Hey, before we actually get into the meat of the show, if anyone doesn't know who you are somehow at this point in your career, haven't heard about you, give everyone the sort of Charlotte 101. What do you do? Where do you do it? What are you passionate about? A little bit of background on yourself before we start.
Okay, great. So I'm a strategic sales director at Investment Monitor. And I'm quite big on LinkedIn. So the last 18 months, I've been working on my personal brand. Talk about everything that's sales tips. You might have come across me on TikTok, probably not, because I started that in July. Charlotte Sales Tips. I have a podcast, Simply Sales and Marketing. So love everything sales, love everything marketing. Sell a MarTech tool, and wanted to create my podcast because I felt that, you know, from feedback I got from sellers on LinkedIn, there sort of hasn't been enough in the way of coaching, training, and I wanted to give something back to the sales community as well. I have many years of experience, and I started selling a MarTech solution 2 years ago, so it was a little bit of a baptism of fire. A lot of traditional advertising before that. Stayed in the same role for a long time and was in my comfort zone. So coming out of my comfort zone, selling a SaaS sort of type solution, had to learn a lot fast, very quickly.
I like that, the baptism by fire. I feel like that's a very common situation for anyone who either makes that transition into SaaS sales or is just starting out their career that way. Everyone likens it to sort of like drinking from a fire hose right away, right? Like the first couple of weeks, few weeks that you're in it, it's just all of this information gets blasted at you and you like have to figure out what to keep, what to retain immediately, what you can kind of put on the back burner. So I'm sure even as, like you said, someone with years of experience in sales, you still had that experience jumping into SaaS and being like, whoa, this is a lot coming at me. What do I need to figure out now? And what do I need to sort of understand for the long term that will bring me success in this role? So anyone can feel the same effect of jumping into SaaS sales. You're one to prove it. I wanted to talk about something that I think is in that sort of like initial fire hose of information that someone gets when they jump into SaaS sales, the idea of cold calling, how important it is within this role, how important it is to building pipeline. I think I know your answer to this based on the content that you create, but I hear it a lot. Everyone says that cold calling is quote unquote dead. It's not as valuable as it used to be. I'd love to get your take on that topic and why you believe where cold calling sort of sits in the overall pipeline generation pool set for a rep, why it's important, why it isn't important, what you can do to improve on it, anything cold calling related, give me your take on that.
Yeah, so cold calling is not dead. And anyone that says that needs to get on a cold call or make several cold calls. I think perhaps it's a generational thing where millennials or post-millennials, you know, are not used to picking up the phone. And they have text, you know, there's WhatsApp, there's TikTok, there's Instagram, there's so many different ways, as well as LinkedIn, YouTube, to communicate, that picking up the phone, you know, not having an actual phone in your house, in your apartment, that's attached to a wall. I grew up with a phone attached to the wall. And then we had like portable phones that sisters would take around the house. You know, I was, I think, 19 when I got my first cell phone. So, you know, I grew up without a cell phone. And I think, you know, cold calling has always been important and it's still as important as it was. To be a good cold caller, I think you have to just get on the phones, get used to, you know, get comfortable with rejection, detach yourself from the outcome, practice. Don't sound like you're reading a script. I think in the beginning, it's important to sort of write down what you're going to say. You'll come up with sort of what you'll prefer your typical opener. I like a permission-based opener purely because it works really well for me. And just get doing it. You know, get in the mirror, practice when you're not, you know, outside of your normal working hours. And just do it. You can only learn by doing. You know, the more you read about it or try and theorize over it, you know, that's not going to help. So get on the phone, pick up the phone, time block, do 50 calls, or, you know, I tend to do around 20 to 50 a day, and just get out there and do it.
Yeah. I mean, I love that, because that's the advice you can give, right? Like, as much as we can talk about, and we'll dive into tactics and things and strategies like that, at the end of the day, it's such a like repetition based skill set that it's sure, as an SDR, might suck if you're like, I need to make 100 calls today or something like that. But you can also think of it with the mindset, like, I get 100 tries at this cold calling thing. Every time I try another one, I get a little bit better. I learn a little bit. And, you know, I can improve upon it from there. As far as for someone just getting started with cold calling, would you say there's any like specific tactic other than like as they're doing it that they should be focusing on when they're really just getting started with it?
Yeah, I think when you're just getting started with it, I mean, just go for it. Maybe sort of think about, you know, what you're going to say, I use anything from sort of 2 to 3 different openers. So the permission-based opener might be, hi, AJ, or hi, Alex. I know you're not expecting my call this morning. Do you mind if I take a few moments to tell you why I'm calling? And then you can decide if it makes sense, if we should continue speaking. You know, and there's all this, 27 seconds, 30 seconds. I wouldn't say that because it just sounds very salesy. Usually what happens then is that the person will say, go ahead. So I'll say, typically when I speak to marketing leaders like yourselves, they focus on several priorities. One of those is demand generation. So, and then I will talk about sort of that and maybe highlight another challenge or another problem that my prospect might be facing. At that point, they might ask, who is this? And I'll say, this is Sean from Investment Monitor. You heard of that before? Heard that name? Nah. But obviously, the objective of every cold call is to book the next meeting. You're not going to sell anything on that cold call. I had a record. I don't know if you saw my LinkedIn, but last week I had 19 minutes and 9 seconds on a cold call, which was just crazy. And I almost say, don't keep the prospect on the call that long. Things were going very well. There were lots of pauses, you know, low voice tones. So you've got to keep your voice very low. Because if you sound really excited like this, hey, AJ, this is Charlotte from Investment Monitor. You know, obviously that's going to, how do you feel when I say that?
You're coming in at a 10. Maybe I'm at like a 4 on the energy level. That's a gap that I'm not looking to meet.
Exactly. And you're putting, Josh Braun highlights this very well. You know, you're in a zone of resistance when you hear my tone of voice, you know, like so high pitch. And it's the same when you say, you know, did I catch you at a bad time? Or I would never ask that question because it's never a good time. You know, psychologically, you're always going to say no. I've seen some cold callers say, I know I'm catching you at a bad time. Do you mind if I take a few moments? I don't mind that. But again, it's almost like, you're sort of apologizing for interrupting their day, which, you know, you are interrupting their day. But I think, you know, you shouldn't really be apologizing for the role that you're, you know, for the fact that you're cold calling, because cold calling is great.
I think what I got from that is like there's a mindset that you have to adopt not ensure, but like make sure that when you are making cold calls that you're doing them to the best of not just like your ability, but also thinking about the scenario or think the situation of the person on the other end, right? Like you said, you don't want to interrupt their day. You don't want to be a nuisance to them. You're reaching out because you have something valuable to deliver. You have some information that they might not be aware of that you can use to help them in some capacity. So like that mindset going into it, allows you to think like, I'm calling you to help this person, not I'm calling you to interrupt your day and hope that you'll give me more time at a different date to do a demo or run through a discovery call. That frame of mind, I think, is so crucial. And to your point of like, when asked, when starting out, what advice would you give to someone? Like, that's the thing, right? Like, going in with that mindset, I'm opening it in a way that doesn't paint me as a nuisance. I'm following up that with a question that, you know, allows them to think about their current situation, challenges, objections, et cetera. And then moving it into, cool, if you want to learn more, like, let's hop on another call, like trying to set up that next step.
Yeah.
You're doing it to help somebody, not to interrupt their day, not to be a nuisance. I think that's like the crux of cold calling.
Yeah, that's absolutely the mindset that you need to have. And you also want to research before, you know, do your research before you do your cold call. So one of the things I like to do is, you know, one of the prospects I called last week, she was having I saw on LinkedIn a fifth year anniversary working with the organization that she represented. So I called her and I said, congratulations. Also sent her a cold email, but congratulations on your work anniversary, 5 years. Wow, what's been the best thing so far? And she paused because she wasn't expecting anyone to call her, certainly someone that she didn't know, and say that. So, you know, and even if you can't find something that's hyper-personalized, you know, about your prospect, go on there. You know, you've Googled them, you're struggling, you can't find anything on any social media channel. Go on the company website, organizational website, and find something that will tie into their role. So they're looking after aerospace or agribusiness, which division are they in sales and in marketing? Find something that's, or even a relevant news item, and, you know, call them up and then mention that as soon as you start the call.
Yeah, it's like, I think the reason that a lot of people say cold calling is dead, because when you say the words cold call, it conjures up these images of individuals that are doing exactly the opposite of what you just said. They have a list of names and they just call down that list and they try to get as many people on the phone. They have a script. They don't have any research that they've done. It's just, hey, I have a thing. Do you want that thing? Yes or no? And that's dead. I can 100% confirm that said, that doesn't work anymore. It's not about going through as many people as you possibly can with as little research as possible. It's the exact opposite of that. Like you were saying, you want to do your research. You want to understand who you're calling, their targeted messaging, right? Like you're reaching out to someone for a reason. You have to have that why in the back of your head as to before you're reaching out, as to why you're actually reaching out to this person, rather than just, man, I hope this person picks up and that they're interested. That form of cold calling is fully dead.
Yeah, it's absolutely dead. I mean, last week I got a cold call and you know, the guy phoned me up and he said, hi, Charlotte, how are you? Don't ever ask me, how are you? Who are you then? I don't know you. Why am I going to tell you how I am? How dare you ask me that? No. So I actually said, you know, he's a nice guy and I like getting cold calls. So, you know, I'd like to help people that are doing cold calls as well. I said, look, you know, you don't know me. And then he said, how's your week going? I said, I'm okay. He said, how are you? I said, I'm okay. Because I wanted to see what he was going to say next. He said, how's your week going? How's your week been? Well, I said, look.
Following up with a weird question.
With my question. Yeah. And I think that if we talk about cultures, certainly in the UK, you would get, you know, a cold call where they will ask how you are, or I hope you're well. You know, terrible, terrible ways to start your cold call.
So when we're talking about the cold calling, right, and cold calling, AJ, like you're saying, isn't dead. What sort of strategies do you use, Charlotte, other than you might have mentioned this earlier because you said you sent a cold email, but what other strategies do you sort of have around the cold calling to help sort of warm up that call when you do reach out to a prospect?
Yeah, so typically I send a cold email first. Then I will cold call usually on the same day or the day after. It depends. It's like whoever opens the email first gets the cold call. And then I've got two opinions on this. I'll go on the LinkedIn profile send them usually a connection request on the same day. Although lately I've been trying it a different way and doing it the day after. Purely doing it on the same day, I know some sellers don't like to do that because they feel like it's too much. But my prospects don't tend to be very active on LinkedIn. They have this, you know, inactive for 30 days. So I just go for it, you know, all in one go. Send them a connection request, usually with a note. So say, hey, I sent you some thoughts on email and, you know, have a really good week. But again, not asking for a meeting. And then, yeah, the cold call will come either on the same day or the day after. And then typically, you know, 3 days later, if I haven't had a reply or if I've seen that they've opened, I cold call them, they didn't answer, then I'll go back and send another email or send a video. So, you know, go on their LinkedIn and said, hey, you know, I see that it's great that you've been doing this. I've been researching your company or researching your, you know, what you're doing in your role. You know, typically, and then again, drop a problem or a specific challenge that they're facing. And then if I'm sending a video, I might well just name drop a couple of competitors that are in their space that we work with. I find that, you know, obviously using all those different techniques, the cold calling, LinkedIn message, cold email and video, you're much more likely to get a response at some point, whether you get told to go away, unsubscribe. But yeah, typically I would book around about 20%, 25% meetings from all those touches rather than, hey, I'm just going to cold call you. Sometimes I'll cold call first, depends. And then I'll send an email, but I'll leave a voicemail if I don't get personal voicemail, if it's them, because sometimes it's an automatic voicemail, isn't it? And then I'll say, I'm going to send you an email. It's going to come from my email address. No need to call me back. So voicemail is pretty powerful. It's another sort of underutilized thing in sales.
I would fully agree. I think actually, Alex, you and I were talking about this the other day, but I went through all of like the missed calls that I've got from the past like 2 weeks. I think I had like 20 or so missed calls, and there were zero voicemails of any of those missed calls. So like, if it was an SDR who was reaching out to me trying to pitch their product, I wouldn't know. More than likely, their email also probably got either buried in my inbox or put into spam. So there's a very low percentage chance that I'm going to be able to interact with you unless I pick up the phone, which I do very rarely. So leaving a voicemail at least tells me who you are, why you're calling, to look out for an email if you have sent one and not just immediately kind of file it away. It is an incredibly underutilized tool. And I think all of the things that you just mentioned, all of the different tactics of, you know, following up with an email, using voicemails, making sure that you're sending LinkedIn connections, like all of this sort of multi-channel approach is a system that you've built for yourself that you recognize works. Like you just said, you're able to book about 20-25% of your meetings through this system of cold calling, cold emailing, LinkedIn connections, video, voicemail, the whole thing. And I think that's like such an important core idea for all of this, is that when you tell a rep to make 80 dials a day, it's so much more than just picking up the phone 80 times and calling. It's all of these other things that they're doing sort of on the back end or sort of ancillary activities that make those dials more powerful. The research that you put behind it, the emails that you've sent, the connection requests you've sent out. It's almost impossible, I would say, if you were to just dial through 80 people to book 20% meetings with no other activity. But having all of those things that you've done in the back make that 20% conversion rate so much more possible. And I commend you for doing that. And I think anyone listening, if they are actually going through this through cold calling on a daily basis, you have to have some kind of system like that in place. Otherwise, you are setting yourself up for failure.
You are. And I think there's a misconception as well, AJ, in that some sellers are a little bit shy or feel afraid that they're hassling the prospect. You're not. I've had, you know, I pick up the phone, the prospect answers the phone, says, oh, I saw your email earlier. And they like it. They haven't said, oh, you're calling me on too many, contacting on too many channels. Don't, don't contact me again. You know, very rarely does that. In fact, that's never, I've never had any prospects say, you've contacted me too much, or you're a hassle, or some kind of, you know, an imposition. Never had that.
Yeah. And it sort of goes back to, I think, that sense that sales comes across as pushy. I think the original idea from a cold call, right, the boiler room sort of idea that, like, we need to close every time we pick up the phone, has definitely left an impression in people's minds.
Yeah.
Even for people calling, right? Even as SDRs, we open this up talking about, like, why an SDR might be hesitant to call. And I think it's true on both ends. I don't want to be pushy. They don't want to get pushed. But yeah, are you saying so there's plenty of other strategies you could use to sort of get that connotation out of your mindset as you're going through, and that'll help with your cold calling going forward?
Yeah, and exactly. And if you're confident in your solution and how it's going to solve your prospect's problems, then there's absolutely no reason for you to feel, you know, as a seller, that you're contacting your prospect too much. I really think, you know, that's the old sort of view of sales, that it was pushy, that it was boiler room, just has to stop. You know, sales is about helping people. It's about solving their problems. And yeah, I think perhaps more so in Europe, it's kind of structured around, the sale is structured around a needs and a benefit approach, which, you know, just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I think we hear, like, BANT is dead, ANUM is dead. There's, like, all of these different sort of, like, qualification methodologies that people have put in place when you get someone on a call, like, oh, they have to have budget, or, like, there's got to be a need, like, the benefits need to match up. But I think it's shifting, and you, as someone who cold calls a lot more often than I do, will correct me if I'm wrong, but it's shifting a lot towards the idea that, like, if you call somebody and you mention something that your solution does that can, in the future or right now, help them solve a challenge, overcome some type of pain that they have, meet some type of objective that they have on the horizon, why not learn a little bit more now, arm yourselves with this tech, like the information about our tech, our product, so you set yourself up for success in the future. That's when I was cold calling, that was sort of my mindset going into it, was I'm just trying to find out if it even makes sense for us to have a second conversation. Not if you have budget, not if you're the person with the authority to do this, not if that there's an immediate need within your organization. I'm just here to basically confirm the suspicion that I have that we could help you. And going into it with that mindset, I think, is so much more powerful than, like, yeah, what you were saying, where is there an immediate need? Do you have budget? This is what we do. Does it match up with what your roadmap looks like? That's a very rigid way of thinking about cold calling.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's got to stop. And, you know, do your cold calling time block for your cold calling. So usually, you know, do it the first, like, as your first task of the day. In my case, you know, I often do it in the afternoon because I'm calling North America a little bit more than I am Europe. But time block that hour or 2 hours a day, and then, you know, do it and just get it out the way. Eat the frog, as they say, you know, eat that frog and eat that frog first thing. Do the hardest things first. You know, it's what you're saying, AJ, it's all tied into mindset, but also discipline. You know, have the discipline to keep going. And then, you know, everything else will fall into place. So the more you do it, and the more you set aside time to do it, the better you're going to be.
We talked about it on an episode of Often, the other podcast that we have, time blocking, finding your golden hours, eat the frog, stuff like that. It's in theory, all of this stuff is, like, very easy to conceptualize, right? Like, oh, I'm there to help somebody. I need to do my research beforehand. Like, understanding that and how you can go about it is very easy. But in practice, it's difficult. Like, it's hard to get kind of all of your ducks in a row to actively make cold calling an effective pipeline generation tactic. But the key to doing any of that, the key to making it easy, is just what you mentioned: time management, finding your golden hours, understanding when people are going to actually pick up the phone and respond to you, prepping for those golden hours by doing research beforehand, getting all of your emails written. Like, again, I think it goes back to the idea that, like, oh, cold calling is just about you picking up the phone and ripping through as many names as you can. it's the exact opposite of that. It is such a systematized activity at this point that if you don't have a process around how you do it and when you do it, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. Maybe we should just rebrand cold calling. You know, maybe it's in the name. Just call it something else.
Yeah. Calling? Just drop the cold, call it calling. Just call it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, Charlotte, you've mentioned a handful of different like tactics and resources that you've been able to leverage during your cold calling sessions. What are some resource recommendations that you have for anyone who's either struggling with getting any results from cold calling, someone who maybe hasn't even started yet, but they're like about to become an SDR and they're looking to arm themselves with the best knowledge going into it? I know you mentioned like Josh Braun, and then the idea of like Eat the Frog. What are some other resource recommendations that you have for someone who's looking to improve their cold calling jobs?
Yeah. So I think the best thing, as I said sort of at the start, is to just start doing it. You know, there's plenty of sales books out there. I'm a fan of reading books. Books aren't going to give you everything. You know, you're going to learn by execution. So by getting out there and just throwing yourself in at the deep end with cold calling, there is no, you know, right and wrong. And just because I used a permission-based opener and I still use it today doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. I would say, you know, the books that have really helped me, there hasn't been any kind of book that's helped me with cold calling, but, you know, get a sales coach, look at investing in some training, be it online training, so you can always sort of push forward your self-development. And that's very important. Create content about what you're doing. So share your best practices, share some of your awful experiences. You know, I'm a bit of a warts and all. And, you know, if I have a really bad cold call or even a really good one, I'll put that content on LinkedIn and I'll talk about it. So, and then other people, other sellers will give me feedback. They might say, I like your approach. I don't like your approach. Or they'll commiserate me, or, you know, they'll offer alternatives as well. So there's that. Be active on social. Books, there's so many books that I've read. I can't say that I've read one on cold calling, but one that I really like for mindset is Atomic Habits by James Clear. Discipline is destiny. I'm just reading that now, so halfway through, I can't remember the author. But these are all sort of what you need to be focused on to make sure that you're in the right mindset. What's another good book that I read? The Challenge of Sale. So looks more about sort of moving from relationship selling to value-based selling. Really good book. And another one that I've read, which actually helped me when I transitioned roles and got into SaaS, was Eat Their Lunch, Anything by Antonio Inarino. Really, really great book. And sort of how to position the competition. And I think I would say those are probably my four favorites at the moment. But the best advice I can give anyone starting in cold calling is just get on the phone and do it.
Just do it. Yeah.
Do it.
There's an idea that I had a while ago. I'm definitely not the first person to have thought of this, but it like came to me at one point when I was talking about a similar idea of like the best way to learn is just by doing it. For a lot of reps out there, when they first start cold calling, they kind of expect there to be like all of these different puzzle pieces that they have to understand and know how they fit together to make cold calling work. But in reality, the way I look at it is like there's a bunch of just random puzzle pieces that don't necessarily all fit together, and you don't know what the finished product looks like. But as you do it, and the more experience you get, the clearer the picture becomes, and you can start to understand how things fit together. So, like what you were saying, you use permission-based openers. For me, I was never that guy. I never like thought it worked for the style of how I would approach cold calling, so I didn't use them, because the way that I do it is different from the way that you do it. And that's like the big thing to understand as a rep, is you just have to do what's comfortable for you, but the only way you figure that out is by doing it. So jumping in and just figuring that out is so important early on, more important than reading a million books or listening to a million podcasts or taking a million classes. Like, just doing it is so important for you to figure out what that puzzle looks like and how to put it together.
Absolutely.
Any last bits of advice or wisdom that you would give to the audience outside of that, which I think kind of really encapsulated what we were talking about, but like one thing that you want the audience to take away from the episode that if they just forgot everything else, this is it.
Hopefully they wouldn't forget everything else. Multi-channel prospecting. So we've talked about cold calling, but are you really, you know, sending videos, emails? Are you keeping those emails short? Are you reading those emails back before you send them? Would you want to get that email, or would you just put it straight in the trash? Get comfortable with social. So start creating content on LinkedIn. It's going to open so many doors, and it's going to help you feel more confident in your role and connect you to like-minded sellers. And the last thing I'm going to say is, and this is extremely powerful, I've only been doing it for about 18 months, but since I started doing it, it's had an amazing effect. Journaling. So every morning, write down what your goals are for the day, something that you're grateful for, maybe a tough situation that you might be facing or that you're going to face. How are you going to deal with it? And again, read that back to yourself, read it out loud, read some positive affirmations. Incredibly powerful. Negative self-talk is dangerous. We tend to talk ourselves out of, I'm not going to make cold calls today. I'm not going to be very good. I'm going to get hung up on, or I'm scared to make cold calls. I'm not going to sell from this cold call. I'm not going to book enough meetings. You know, all of these phrases are very damaging. So make sure that you write down your goals for the day. And then at the end of the day, revisit them, read them out loud. That's it.
Love it. Yeah, I think that incredibly important. Be multi-channel. Know what you're going to do for the day. Write down your goals and journal. And then having that mindset, that right mindset going into cold calling. Those are like the three big things that I pulled away from this conversation that are, I think, not just crucially important, but like without them, you just won't succeed. So fantastic way to sum that up. Charlotte, thanks so much for being on the show. If people want to continue this conversation with you, learn more about what you do, get more advice and insight from you. I know you said you were all over LinkedIn. How can people find you and connect with you?
So I'm on LinkedIn, the Charlotte Lloyd, LLOYD. And I'm on TikTok, Charlotte's Sales Tips. I put out a daily tip, so quite active there. I'm on Instagram, but you probably don't want to follow me on Instagram because I talk fashion, lifestyle tips, Charlotte in the world. And I'm on Twitter, Charlotte H. Lloyd, positive affirmations daily on Twitter. So, but yeah, LinkedIn is where I'm at. I've also got a podcast called Simply Sales and Marketing. It's an audio podcast, 20 to 25 minute episodes. It's usually an actionable tip for a seller or a marketer at the end of each episode. So it's on Spotify, it's on iTunes, it's on, I think, 15 other streaming channels. So yeah.
Awesome. Go have Charlotte.
AGS was on it.
I was, yeah. I didn't want to like be the person to say it because like obviously like I would be the one to say I was on your show, but I can confirm you run a tight ship over there. It's a great show. I highly recommend anybody to check it out. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks again for being here, Charlotte. Thank you, listener, for listening to Unsubscribe. Remember to subscribe to get more insight and advice in your inbox. We'll catch you next time. But thanks again, Charlotte. Really appreciate it.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for watching this episode of Unsubscribe, the Demand Drive podcast. If you want less of those nasty unsubscribe emails in your inbox, go ahead and check out some of the content we have to the left. And make sure that you subscribe to Unsubscribe to keep your SDR team in tip-top shape.